driving in my car and I go to this four-way stop and no one has a turn signal on but me. How are we supposed to know which way we're going? Seinfeld music brings up Seinfeld one-liners or four-liners. That's right. George Costanza is still one of the best characters of all time, in my opinion.
Oh, he's a jerk.
I mean, but in a great way.
Yeah. They're all jerks, the whole show. That's why the last episode was such a great episode, because for 8 years we were all rooting for these jerks that we thought were great people. And the last episode showed us these people suck.
Mm-hmm. JP Acosta and Greg Rosenthal, they went back and forth drafting quarterbacks on NFL Daily. They decided to do a coach's draft and rank them 1 through 27. They said, here's a little nugget for you. First-year head coaches do not get to be on this list.
Which is fine. They haven't done anything.
Yes. Yeah. And I promise you, if they were...
Ben Johnson would be 2.
You're right.
It's not a bad take. And Brian Schottenheimer would be dead last.
He'd be 32 on the list. There's no question. Yeah.
So where it ranks, Andy Reid is 1. Brian Callahan is dead last.
Yeah.
So that's where the list starts and stops. I don't have a problem with this list.
No, I have major issues with this list, like a lot of issues with this list.
So this is your top 10, and I'll try to go fast and fluid so we don't have to waste time doing it. But Andy Reid, Sean McVay, Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, and Kyle Shanahan are your top 5. John Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Matt LaFleur, and D'Amico Ryan's Mike Tomlin are the second of your top 5. That's your total 10. So Reid, McVay, Campbell, O'Connell, Shanahan, Harbaugh, Peyton, LaFleur, Ryans, Tomlin.
If I'm doing this list, first and foremost, I'm starting with ranking my coaches who's won a Super Bowl. And they're getting into one category on their own. And I'm ranking them from there. Mm-hmm. And Andy Reid is the clear runaway for number one. Even if Bill Belichick was on this list at this point in time, Andy Reid would still be the number one coach in the NFL. I would then follow that up with somebody who's actually, I don't know, won a Super Bowl. I don't hate Sean McVay being at number 2 on this list at all. He's gone to, what, 2 Super Bowls with the Rams with 2 different quarterbacks, right? And so that being said, Sean McVay is high on this list and should be high on this list. Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl. He's ahead of Dan Campbell. Pete Carroll's won a Super Bowl, took his team to another one. He's ahead of Dan Campbell. Nick Sirianni, say what you want about the guy. He led that team to a Super Bowl and crushed the Kansas City Chiefs like they've never been crushed before.
15th
he's on
list,
that list.
15th.
15th on that list is a real shame for Nick Sirianni, who has done two Super Bowls in the last 3 years, right? That's a pretty damn good track record right there. So he's up there on that list. Dan Campbell, sorry, haven't been to a Super Bowl. Kevin O'Connell, has he won a playoff game yet? Kyle Shanahan, King Choke, on that list. John Harbaugh, he should be on the list. He's won a Super Bowl. Sean Payton's won a Super Bowl. He's on that list. I love D'Amico Ryans. He's not in my top 10 probably yet as coaches in the NFL. I think it's misguided, and I really do think we do not give enough credit to coaches who have led and been to and won Super Bowls as much as we should. And I don't know what Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, and Kyle Shanahan, 3, 4, and 5 on that list, have truly accomplished. I like Kevin O'Connell. I like Dan Campbell. But you're not better than coaches that have been to Super Bowls and have won Super Bowls. That's the way that I view this list.
So, like, for Tomlin, for instance, is that just forever he gets that, you know, won the Super Bowl, even though it's been over a decade?
Well, he's over 500 every single year. And that's as hard to do as anything. Consistently be an over 500 ball club with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph and last year's situation and whatnot. Like, Mike Tomlin brings out the best in everybody. He got Justin Fields a contract. Hell, he got Russell Wilson a contract.
Yeah, Shanahan got Jimmy G to a Super Bowl and Brock Purdy to a Super Bowl. I know he's lost some regular season games, but what has Mike Tomlin done in the playoffs?
Well, he's won a Super Bowl. Mike Tomlin's you get ultimate scoreboard. Like, if we're not, if look, who are we going to credit Super Bowl wins to just when it fits the narrative that we want to have fit the narrative? Because people will say quarterbacks, it's more than just winning Super Bowl. Is it the team sport? Then Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady. Well, he's got more Super Bowls. Well, so who does the Super Bowl apply to? Yeah. I think it does apply to a head coach. If you've won a Super Bowl in the NFL, you don't luck into that.
That's fair. I'm just saying, when does it run? Like, it's been over 10 years.
And you have to ask the Pittsburgh fan that question. That's where you ask the Steeler fan that question. When does it run its course is when, you know, the Steeler fans are done and they're saying it's run its course. But again, be careful what you wish for, because you could go out there and hire Brian Callahan to be your next head coach or whoever the case may be, just because you've hit a home run. Every time you've hired a coach since 1950 doesn't mean you're going to hit a home run that fourth time if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you got to be careful of what you wish for. But I mean, look, Mike Tomlin gets the most out of everybody on that team. He's been kind of hamstrung with a lot of the players that he's been given, and they still find a way to go above 500 every year.
I think Mike Tomlin is Mike Socia. Mike Socia won a World Series with the Angels, stayed relevant as a winning ball club, but didn't really do anything with it, and eventually time ran out.
And that was on ownership, though, not really reinvesting back into that ball club.
Same with Pittsburgh.
You could say that, absolutely. They never had a plan at quarterback after they got rid of Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, they tried.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they drafted Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
And they drafted Mason Rudolph. They tried.
Kenny Pickett, to me, screams is Bubba Starling, and that's the best analogy that I could give. He's from your own backyard. If you don't draft him and he goes on to go somewhere else, you're the village idiot for a decade, right? I mean, my God. So you had to make that decision. And with the Dan Marino cloud hanging over, oh, you passed on the last good pick quarterback. You should never draft somebody because they're in your own backyard. It doesn't mean you know more about that guy because they're in your own backyard. You're bowing to peer pressure of social media at that point in time. And I can promise you the Royals were hoping Bubba Starling was not there when they drafted him. So they wouldn't have had to take Bubba Starling. But God forbid they didn't. He went somewhere and dominated. Then that's all people would talk about, like Albert Pujols 30 years later. 10 teams passed on Albert. Yeah, 10 times it happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with this order. I think that I think
we're rewarding people who haven't done enough yet.
I also think it's to go to your point about how hard it is to win the NFL. Like, I don't think that we should undervalue regular season wins. And a lot of these guys in the top 10 win consistently in the NFL. I mean, Dan Campbell, since he's taken the job, who he was laughed at because he said a kneecap comment, has done nothing but revive the Detroit fan base and that team.
Yeah, he's had two good years.
Maybe three good years, but the first year
they missed the playoffs, right? But they went to the last game of the season.
Yep.
You know, he's revived that, no doubt. But he's not won when it matters most. And, like, if we're not going to use Super Bowl wins to judge coaches or quarterbacks, then why have the Super Bowl, right? I mean, I think that's the separator, in my opinion. If you got two guys, you know, you've got Mahomes and you've got Brady, or you've got Belichick and you've got Andy Reid, what's the separator that you're going to use to determine who was better? The eye test can only go so far. We've got rings, we've got championships for a reason. I just at times don't think we value winning a Super Bowl or a World Series enough as much as we should.
Okay, I've got two questions. First, for both of you, should...
It's today.
...be in the top 10?
No.
No.
Okay, he's
11? 11. Yeah, he's 11.
So that's fine for him? You're cool with that?
Yeah. I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl. He wins.
Yeah, he wins.
I think he should be in the top 15. I think he should be below Sirianni, and I think Sean McDermott should be ahead of him.
Okay. And then I want to hear both of your guys' top fives. Maybe yours is pretty much the same. Mine would be pretty much the same, but I didn't know.
Yeah, it's Reed McVay, it's Tomlin, it's Pete Carroll for me. I've got Sean Payton on that list, and I will put John Harbaugh on that list. I mean, those guys all win championships. They win their division almost consistently. People will say Sean Payton maybe is underachieved, and you can go with that, but he still won a Super Bowl. And I can't put anybody on that list who hasn't won a Super Bowl. I just can't. I'm not putting anybody on that list who's a cool guy right now that we may all fall in love with because of some nerd stats, as opposed to guys who actually do it on the field and have won championships. Because eventually we've got to start valuing these Super Bowls more. We strive for it all year, and then we get to the offseason. We're like, nah, Super Bowls isn't everything. Like, no, it is. It really is everything.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's Andy and McVay, 1 and 2. I think I have.
McVay is undervalued too, and I think in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to coaches,
how so?
I don't think enough people give him credit. I really don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I don't. I don't think the casual fan gives Sean McVay enough credit.
I think the entire NFC side of people know that he's the Andy Reid equivalent in the NFC, and this list clearly would indicate that he's the second best coach in football. Mm-hmm. Obviously young and has a ton of time left to go after a bunch of records and wins. Those would be my top two. I don't have any issue with that. I mean, Kevin O'Connell in the top five is a stretch, just because we haven't really seen it yet enough. I know he did it last year and mm-hmm. was very good in that division. Hell, you have three of the top 10 teams are all in the AFC North.
And he's just going to continue to get better. He's got another opportunity this year, too. If you make J.J. McCarthy a playoff quarterback, he's going to climb that list. And then for Kevin O'Connell, it's going to be, all right, man, you got to get it done in the playoffs. That's where Dan Campbell is. Dan Campbell's gotten progressively worse each year in the postseason. NFC Championship game, NFC Divisional round. That's not the direction that you want to be going. Now losing both of your coordinators, going to be interesting. Detroit's an interesting case study this year.
Yeah, I would go Reid, McVay, Kyle Shanahan, John Harbaugh, and then I would probably finish with fifth is tough. Probably Campbell, because he's done it for 3 years. He's rebuilt a franchise. He has a system that is believable. For me, regular season wins are very undervalued, and he's had at least, 12 of them in the last 2 years, and he's had 10 in the last three as a coach. I mean, he's racked up 30 wins in 3 years from a guy, again, who was laughed at because he said, we're going to eat kneecaps. And everyone was like, this guy won't last. Look at me now. Now, again,
now, what if they take a dramatic step back without their coordinators this year, right? That changes things.
Big test for him.
Yeah. What if Pete Carroll came back to the NFL, who they have as 13th on the list in his first year coaching the NFL, is an absolute failure in LA or in Vegas? I think you could have that same conversation. You've been out of the game. New team, new city, new location.
And that's probably why, looking back, Andy Reid didn't want to take that time off. You know, he got right back into it after the Philadelphia thing, because you keep that momentum going. Dusty had said something in the break about momentum or whatever we were talking. I forget what it was now. Oh, taking the year off. You know, if you take a year off of playing, you never find it again, right? And it's true. Like, that's the good thing about Andy Reid. He took no time off. He just continued coaching and never lost that, you know, ability to be in the game. Like, being around the game is not the same as being in the game every single day. Andy Reid has done a great job of reinventing himself as a coach, not just from Philadelphia to Kansas City, but from year to year, from quarterback to quarterback, from offense to offense. Like, Andy Reid, you would have think he's the 35-year-old head coach out there with the way that he's going.
And I also just don't think he can take a year off. I think he's just so driven towards the game that it's just like he wouldn't know what to do if he just didn't coach.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
So that's my top five. Do you have similar top five?
Yeah, Zach Taylor, very far down on the list, too, at number 24, too.
Hasn't done anything with the talent that he has.
No. Yeah. It's crazy. Made a Super Bowl, and he's at 24. That's just nuts. By the way, Mike Vrabel, most potential to make a big jump there.
Huge. 18 on that list. Very low.
Yeah, he could be top 10 easily, in my opinion. Yeah, I think Andy Reid, McVay. I'd probably have John Harbaugh. Kyle Shanahan. And then,
Danny C.
But Kyle Shanahan was 6-11 last year.
Yeah, I know, but they had a bunch of injuries.
He had a bunch of adversity.
Yeah, and they had made the NFC Championship, four of the last 5 years? Two Super Bowls.
We'll see if that continues, but that's normally, that's your four-year window in sports. Again, we're very spoiled with the Chiefs, right? The Royals are in year two of their four-year window.
Well, they're in, and San Francisco's in phase.
It's true.
You know, Shanahan's in phase two. They paid their quarterback.
Yeah, they just did that. We didn't talk about that.
Their phase two begins. Debo is gone. McCaffrey is older. Mm-hmm. Ricky Parcells, he's going to be the number two option.
He's Rick Pearsall. Fun receiver to watch, man. And he's got that great story. Got shot and came back. I mean, good Lord.
That's a celebration.
That's right. And then, I think that I will say on this list, I think LaFleur's a little high, and I think D'Amico's a little high. I think that's a little bit of recency bias. You'll be like, well, Dusty D'Amico with the Texans, but you're going to have Dan Campbell up there. What's D'Amico done in the playoffs besides bitch and moan about the Chiefs getting all the calls?
Yeah.
They won a game, didn't they?
They won two playoff games in 2 years.
So Dan one Campbell, how many playoff wins does Dan Campbell have?
Probably two.
Six.
Two?
Well, he went to the NFC Championship game.
So that's two. And then
if he had a bye.
Well, you had the wild card and divisional round. That's two wins.
Okay, yeah. And then I think he did that 2 years
ago. I think did they have the bye last year?
He's 2-2.
Yeah, there's
2-2 in the playoffs. So Dan Campbell has the same amount of playoff wins as D'Amico Ryan. Same record, if I'm not mistaken, as D'Amico in the playoffs.
Yeah, it would be 2-2, yeah.
Yeah, they lost to the Ravens and the Chiefs.
Yeah, D'Amico. Yeah.
And he beat somebody. He Cleveland.
Cleveland last year, and then.
And then this year they beat. Year? Was it San Diego?
Yeah, was it? Yeah. Was the Chargers?
It was the Chargers. Yeah. Chargers. They beat the Chargers this year. So he's 2-2. Dan Campbell's 2-2.
Locked, got, and ready to rock.
Who's the most overrated coach on this list? Is it Jim?
I like Jim. I'm a big fan of Jim.
I get it, but
I'd have Jim over Sean Payton, maybe.
I could go with Matt LaFleur.
I think it's Carroll. I'm sorry. I just think it's Pete Carroll. I think he's overrated.
I know. You're really in on that. Yeah.
That's fair. Look, I think
Sean McDermott.
He's been to AFC Championship games. Yeah. He's got, look at his playoff.
Kevin Stefanski. What's the love child with him, man?
He's won Coach of the Year twice. And he coached the playoff game in the basement of his house when he had COVID.
But like
Mike McDaniel at 17.
That's egregious.
You ain't beat a winning team.
That is egregious. The fact that Mike Vrabel is behind Mike McDaniel, somebody's smoking the ganj on that one.
They
man.
Got McDaniel like, over Vrabel and Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles had a good year.
Todd Bowles is quietly a good coach. Like he's not going to jump off the paper at you and motivate you, but they win.
He makes bad decisions, but he's a good coach. He motivates people. You're right.
I mean, to have McDaniels that high is just insane. All right, let's get to On the Come real quick.
On the Come.
One more time.
On the Come.
All right, On the Come. Matt, go ahead. Lead us off.
The WNBA, baby. Mm. On the Come. Bob texted us the other day. He had a call from a friend just to talk WNBA for 20 minutes.
I did, yeah. My friend Joe called me yesterday. He goes, let's talk about this Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark situation in the WNBA.
Did you just respond and say how much time you got?
Well, we talked about 15 minutes, you know, and the kids came home, and I had to go take care of business with them. But when was the last time you got a call from one of your buddies wanting to talk about the WNBA?
Well, your girls watch this, Caitlin Clark.
No.
Okay.
They don't.
I'm trying to figure out where that demographic will start. Is it 20s? Is it 15? Is it, you know, young?
Yeah.
Where does that start? Because
I think my kids are just Chiefs fans right now. They like ancillary baseball and stuff like that.
I know you're not this dad, and I'm glad that you're not, but have you ever thought about maybe on like a Saturday at 2:30, like, hey girls, have you ever watched Caitlin Clark play basketball and see if you like it?
I never have. I'm going to let them determine what they want to do. I'm not making you force them.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, throw out the invite. Like, hey, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Obviously, I'm your dad. I do sports radio. You know, I love sports, but there's this girl that plays in the WNBA. Her name is Caitlin Clark. She was at Iowa.
Know who she is,
but to watch her, because you see her hit label threes, logo threes, awesome, go from half court, have that sort of swag about it, like that gets you, that builds generational stuff. Right?
I have one daughter that's ancillary on the Chiefs. As long as Taylor's there, she's going to watch.
That's a huge thing.
Like, will Hannah watch Caitlin Clark?
I could get her interested in Caitlin Clark.
If she'll watch Bryson DeChambeau and be won over by that, I can't imagine why Caitlin Clark wouldn't get her to be like, hey, when do they play again?
Because she's an adult and the kids don't watch anything.
So that's
hardly.
Why I'm trying to figure out that.
That where's the. Because kids watch Bobby Witt,
but they won't watch Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
But that's not watching whole games, you know? And again, I experienced that in 2014 with the Royals talking 11 years ago. The kids just watch highlights on YouTube. I'm like, they do what? Now they don't watch the whole game.
That's
and
crazy.
So ever since 2014, I'm just under the assumption of the majority of kids aren't watching the games. I know my kids aren't. They're not sitting around really watching a game. They'll pop in what's going on and move on to the next and, you know, do that kind of stuff. So I don't know if it's a fair estimate to say, are these kids watching Caitlin Clark? Is that going to carry? I think it's more people like in Max generation, like in their early 20s, that are kind of starting out on life and doing some new things and experiencing
new stuff. And I think Hannah, I mean, it's obvious, but it's just the female aspect. She's like, oh, this is cool, we're gonna like actually be interested in these girls playing sports. They've got a lot of talent, and it's increasing in that league. It's not just Caitlin Clark, so I'm excited.
Right, and it's not Angel Reese, because I don't think she's a very good basketball player. But they've got the rivalry, which is helping the sport. If it was just Caitlin Clark draining threes, it wouldn't be that interesting. Nope. It's this rivalry that has spawned fighting with analysts on TV, you know, going after each other and their families. Like, this is where this one's gotten. I don't recall seeing anything like this in the NFL.
Tonight, by the way, the Indiana Fever do play at 6 o'clock, and guess what? You want to know what it's on?
What's it on?
NBA TV. You got playoffs, man.
I get it.
Okay, what time does the playoff game start, Dustin?
7:30.
Why don't you start that game at 5:30 and put it on ESPN leading into the playoff game?
I agree. They've got to be better.
I actually am lucky enough that I have NBA TV.
Nice.
So
you're the guy.
He's the guy. Wow. Nice.
So, I mean, it just
I'll
came
find a way.
That's his spectrum works.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a pirate ship going towards a bridge. So, my Tough Tuesday, live golf, PGA golf, figure it out, put it together. your ratings have been great for the Masters and the PGA Championship, and it's because LIV guys were going up against PGA guys. Spieth ain't moving the needle. Bryson DeChambeau is. Justin Thomas ain't moving the needle. John Rahm had us all there watching on Sunday because of what he used to be and what he could have been. LIV, PGA, figure it out. Combine your sport again, and let's get back to some good competitive golf. That's my on the come is those LIV guys.
Love it.
Trying to make a name of it, falling apart on Sunday, which we talked about earlier, but combine the sports because the ratings are there. It was Rory versus Bryce at the Masters. It was Scotty versus John Rahm at the PGA Championship. U.S. Open comes around the corner on Father's Day. Will it be another PGA versus a LIV guy? I would bet so.
I got two that I wanted to kind of go with today.
Two on the comes?
I do. The Patriots. Ooh. We talked about it off the air yesterday, and I said to Mac, who's really been in on the Patriots since the schedule, before the schedule, since Vrabel, I guess, probably. They're favored in 11 of 17 games this year.
Good.
That's insane.
AFC right? East is trash.
It is garbage, right? And so exactly. the New England Patriots, they could be a team on the come, but for me, it's Chris Bubich, man. This guy he's boobalicious. He's getting better and better and better. And the Royals are going to have to make a tough decision here. Are we going to sign Bubich to that long-term deal, give him a Cole Reagans-type contract, or are we going to trade him and get somebody back in return to help our offense out? I like trading guys. That's kind of the way I feel, but the rest of Major League Baseball seemingly doesn't want to trade anybody, but I think Bubich would be a great trade chip for you, especially with Noah Cameron, you know, going the way that he's going right now, and you have an opportunity to take from a strength and build a weakness. You do that every single day in professional sports. Now, will he get traded? I don't know, but would I? Absolutely would.
Yeah, not this year, but in the offseason, there's a strong possibility is what we were advocating there, that there will be a, because he has a year and a half under team control, and then it is out of your control. By the way, Brady Singer, ERA is a 5. So I don't want to hear about, oh, we shouldn't have gotten rid of Brady. But we'll see.
We'd be the exact same team if we had Brady Singer. Probably worse because Jonathan India still gets on base like he did last night and was a big reason why the Royals won that game.
By the way, Chris Bubich's ERA is 1.47 and a whip of 1.06.
Not to be like facetious, that seems high. 1.46 seems that's like crazy. A very high ERA for Chris Bubich.
You know what the opposite effect is? Michael Wacha's ERA is 2.86. Let that stew for a little bit. That's your everybody's most hated pitcher on the rotation. He's got a 2.86 ERA. Tonight it's Michael.
That's why you can trade one of these guys. And Bubich has the most value.
Yeah. Noah Cameron has a 0.71 ERA and 2 starts and a whip of 6.3.
That high?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't remember him giving up a run.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
No doubt about it.